Blog Talk Radio.
In the last days, Israel shall rise again as a mighty nation. Gentile peoples shall serve her. Zion shall be established. Finally, they shall dwell in celestial splendor. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, they seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, I'm your host, and I'm your servant, Georgia Johnson. Today, family, is May the 17th, 2013. This is our Shabbat Show, family, and I welcome each and every family member as well as those lost sheep, those sojourners. Hey, come to hear the Father's word today. Family, my name is Georgia Johnson, and we're going to be going over who are the daughters of Zion. This is the topic today, and I think the topic definitely needs to be brought to the forefront. See, we're supposed to be waking up to truth. Can't wake up to truth unless it's as is written in the Father's word. If the Father says he changes not, you can't understand that the old covenant, when it talks about the daughters of Zion, oh, yeah, that's Israel. And then go over to the new covenant and say, see those women, you know, can't be doing that. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing a lot of things that basically are symbology and spiritual. As for your understanding, if you're using precepts properly, not giving too little here or there when you do that, and making sure it stays within context. So today we're going to go over who are the daughters of Zion. Okay, who are the daughters of Zion? I want to go into speaking a little bit about what we can read and understand through the set apart spirit, through the scriptures, and then go and look at what is being seen and taught today, and see how our Father feels about that. And why is it important to make this correction about these daughters of Zion? Why is it so important? Why are we doing this show? Well, we're going to get to all that before all said and done today. This is going to be a rather extensive show, but I'm going to take my time with it, and I pray that everyone will be following along with me. Had a lot of mishaps right before the show. I think my notes got scattered around a little bit, so I ask everyone to bear with me. I'm going to be going back and forth trying to figure out what happened just now. But yet and all, we are going to go over some information that's very vital to the seed of Jacob. Okay, the 12 tribes of Israel, the ones that the Father said he's going to regather us. Okay, he said that he came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We already talked about the two branches coming together. What was that, Romans 11, where it talks about they were being grafted back into their own olive tree. We know that that is speaking of Judah and Israel. So we know it's speaking about Israel. It's not speaking of the other nations. And if that, me saying that, which is what the word says, but if me saying that makes me prejudiced, so be it. Because we know that if the world loved my message, then, Yahushua was not of this world. He didn't come for this world. And if they loved my message, then I wouldn't be of Yahushua. Okay, I wouldn't be of Yahuwah. So I'm going to speak some truths that might irritate some people, both lost sheep, definitely of the other nations, but some teachers. What I say today might really irritate some teachers, but we're going to read it. You know, we're going to let the word speak, and the word's going to justify what it means. And from this point on, when we go to check out other teachings, and some of them are good to some extent, then they go off on a tangent. But when they specifically talk about the daughters of Zion, and they can, and you see them, that they can tell you in the Old Covenant when they're doing a particular teaching that this is speaking of Israel, and then wonder why is it that when they go to Isaiah 3 and 4, it changes. Oh, it's talking about that Hebrew sister. Oh, hey, we're going to look at it, okay? I'm not going to play any MP3s today, but I probably will include some very telling MP3s in the show notes if I can gather them all back, because I've been going through a lot of teachings and listening, and it's obvious that they understand that Old Covenant, the daughter of Zion, was speaking of Israel. Why did it change by the time you get to the New Covenant? That's a question everyone who really wants to seek the Father's truth should be asking. Why did it change? Okay, we're going to get to some of that as well. There's a specific reason, family. You know, when it said that broad is that way to destruction, Father wasn't just saying, let me just throw something in the scriptures just so they can read. No, broad is that way because many are deceived. Many believe a lie. You know, many have learned the ways not only of the heathens, but of those who are sitting in Moses' seat. And we're going to get to some of that today. So today's topic is, who are the daughters of Zion? Before we get started, I ask everyone, let's praise and worship our Father Yahuwah. If you raise your hands with me. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for everything that you have given us, for waking us up in these last days, Father. Father, for allowing the set-apart spirit to give us the truth of your word. Although much is written in deception form by the English language, where there is no distinction between your people and the other nations, you have given us the understanding by the set-apart spirit where we can decipher the truth from the lies, where it's not that we're speaking ill of anyone, we're just reading the truth of your word. This truth has been hidden from our people. And now, through the prophecy of Ezekiel 37, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as well as those scattered across the four corners of the earth, we're waking up. We're waking up to your truth. We're waking up to the truth of who we are, and we thank you and we praise you, Father. We thank you because through our disobedience, you never left us. You were always there. Father, you tell us that you will regather us. We look forward to that. We say hallelujah, Father, and thank you. You are all-powerful, and righteously we should be praising you daily. Father, we thank you for giving us your word so that we may continue to speak your truth across the four corners of the earth, through all the other nations that are out here that encompass even some of our people who are scattered. Father, whether they know they are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, or if they do know this, let this word be a blessing to them, Father. May their eyes be further open to your truth and your word. Let the set-apart spirit edify their set-apart spirit. Father, give those who want to talk against the truth of your word, shut it down. Shut it down. Let your truth be told. Let those who are seeking your face hear it and receive the truth with gladness, giving all praises and all honor and glory to you. Hallelujah. Father, we ask for a blessing over what we are going to be reading today, and we ask for the understanding. Father, we ask that it be well received, our reading of the word, to edify you. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for all my family members and all those lost sheep who are coming into the truth of your word. Father, hallelujah. In Yahushua's set apart name, hallelujah. All right, family, welcome, welcome again. Hey, it's that time. It's our Shabbat time where we set apart time. This is the day we have chosen. Okay, because we don't put one day over the other, but we usually use a Friday evening, and we try to keep to the Father's word. Not that we cannot use a Thursday, not that we cannot use a Wednesday, because we know that Yahushua came to make things spiritual, and the Shabbat was not made for man, but man made for the Shabbat. Is that right? Did I say it right? I say that one so much, sometimes I get confused. But the whole point is that Shabbat day was made so that man, his creation, the ones who had the set-apart spirit, could be formed and placed into the garden. So with the understanding, some of this is new to you. Just sit back tight. You'll get the understanding. Go back through our archives. We usually break this down quite a bit throughout our lessons. I want to make sure that nobody's left behind as far as the understanding. I offer everybody to go to our archives. A lot of people join our website, and what they say to me is, through the profile questions is, well, I'll tell you after I go through your archives. Well, family and lost sheep sojourners, all you have to do is go through our archive shows. Everything that is written on our site is spoken freely across the web, okay? We do weekly lessons. Go through the lessons. That's what you're going to find on the website, okay? You're not missing anything. Nothing's charged for. Come over here. You know, get it free. You know, if you feel that the Father is leading you to this truth, then help support His word so we can reach other family members which are scattered, which are lost to the truth of the word. All right? I want to welcome everybody. All right, family, what we're going to do, like I said, my notes did get a little scattered here, but hey, we're going to pine through some of this mess that I have. I don't know what just occurred, but I believe I got it. I believe I got where I want to start. excuse me. I want to first go by, let's see if I can get to the one notes. I don't know what I just did. I hit a button, family, and all my notes just went flip-floppy. I don't know what happened to them. But, you know, we're talking about a lot of the things that we're talking about right now deal with the daughter of Zion. Now, the daughter of Zion, I'm going to just go straight forward. We're talking about Israel. Scripture says it, and we teach that. Yahuwah says, I change not. So just, you know, the title of the show is Who Are the Daughters of Zion? I'm just going to tell you who they are if you don't already know. I don't care if you go to Old Covenant. I don't care if you go to the New Covenant. The daughters of Zion, that's speaking of Israel, all the tribes. Okay, the daughter of Zion. All right, so now since we got that said, I want to take you to some definitions, okay? Some definitions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a link You know, I like to share with you my links here. But this link, if you want to just say, well, is that true? Is it really speaking of Israel? Well, here you go. This is your link right here for those of you at home. I just gave all the family members and the sojourners, the guests, the lost sheep that are listening to the show. I just gave everybody on the chat line a link to the KJV, the Concordance, okay, the Strong Concordance, and it's for Daughter and of Zion. Okay, when you go through there, you're going to find many places in there where it speaks of the daughters of Zion, or it'll talk about Zion, the daughter of Judah. It'll tell you I don't want to say inhabitants, but who is Zion? Who are they speaking about when they say the daughter of Zion? You can see in, 4 places is used as the daughter of Zion. If you're looking at the Strong Concordance link I gave you. Now, in the Songs of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "Go forth, O ye daughter of Zion, and behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal and in the day of the gladness of his heart." And the daughters of Zion was speaking about Israel. Everybody knows that. Even the other nations, they know that. Okay? I don't know why Israel has such a hard problem with understanding the truth of our Father's word. He says, "I change not." He changes not. We are not to change these words around to fit our particular, what we're trying to promote. You know, and for those of you who are sitting under people who are promoting a lie by telling you the daughters of Zion or anything other than all Israel, you need to be asking yourself, what am I doing listening to this? And you're going to understand why I say that. But let's go on. When you go to Isaiah 3:16, it says, "Moreover, Yahuwah said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanted eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tingling with their feet." Ooh, that does sound like he's talking about a woman, huh? A sister. I can just see her now prancing herself up and down the street thinking she all that, got an anklet on, you know, got her nose in the air just thinking that, you know, I can do anything I want to do. I don't need a man. You know, I've heard it. I've seen the descriptions. I've seen the pictures. I've seen the examples they give when they speak of this daughter of Zion in Isaiah 3. Is that what Yahuwah is speaking of? Is that what he's speaking of? You know, if you're a person who is listening to someone who's telling you they're speaking about a Hebrew woman, you better really start to humble yourself and ask the Father to reveal to you the truth and go through the scriptures and read for yourself. Make sure that little bit here and that little bit there when you get your precepts, you're getting the full understanding of what that particular chapter is speaking of. Okay, Isaiah 3:17, "Therefore Yahuwah will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and Yahuwah will discover their secret parts." Now, I'm going to put on the show notes a particular video. I've played it before, but I'm going to put it on. It was given by a well-known Hebrew site. And what they said that this particular verse, Isaiah 3:17, where it says, "Yahuwah will smite with a scab, speaking of the daughters of Zion, the crown of the head." That's why them Hebrew women, that's why the black woman, that's why... she ain't got no hair. Do you think the Father is worried about the hair? Anything of the outer appearance? Yahushua told us it's all on the inside. So why he worried about bald-headedness, as some people teach? First of all, this is not speaking of a woman. And second of all, I'm one of the daughters of Zion. I'm almost set on my hair. So what's what? You know, what's going on here? They have many Hebrew sisters who have long hair. But many people believe that this is speaking about why the majority of our women have short hair. You know, if Willie Lynch wasn't enough to give the sister a complex about her looks, and then the writing of the, woman get old, oh well. The man could get old, it's for the better. you know, sisters have been put down and down and down. And I'm just going to tell it for what it is. We know the men have, but I'm just talking about what's being done among our own people. You look at what Willie Lynch did. He wanted to pit the man against the woman. All this craziness. The father didn't have not one place in the scripture where he was pitting all the Hebrew women against the Hebrew men. But that's what we see going on in 2013. What's up with that? And it's places where you go into the scripture, like Isaiah 3:17, Isaiah 3:16, Isaiah 3 and 4, that so much is warped pertaining to the Hebrew woman and the daughters of Zion. That's a lot. That's a lot. I go to so many shows. They have a whole show, seven wives and one man. All that does is promote the many ribs theory about taking many wives, which is unrighteous. But hey, Isaiah 4:4, it says, when Yahuwah shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the set-apart spirit of judgment and by the set-apart spirit of burning. But see, all these verses, with what we're hearing and what's being taught pertaining in New Covenant about the daughters of Zion, and they'll take that, tell you it's the Hebrew woman, and go many places with it, and teach basically that the Hebrew woman is subservient to the male. And our father, he states that we, the children of Israel, are the apple of his eye. There's much contention going on with the teachings. Not of the Most High. He never said that. He didn't say, well, the men of Israel are the apple of my eye. No, he said that his children, Israel, all Israel, both men and women, are the apple of his eye. See, there's a lot of unrighteousness going on. That's the point of me even bringing this up. There's a lot of unrighteousness. It goes a little, it's like what the enemy does. And I'm speaking of the other nation. They put a little lie here, but in order to cover that lie, they got to go here with a lie, change a word there, a meaning there, show you a picture of the wrong people and a totally different understanding of our Father, if they even bring him into the picture of the equation, as well as Yahushua. But that's being done within Israel right now. Not by mistake, because it is forewritten that this would happen. Many just don't understand what they're reading in Scripture. We're going to get to it. Daughters of Zion, not speaking about a Hebrew woman. We're talking about Israel. If you don't know it's speaking about Israel, how are you going to know that you're being unrighteous with things you're doing? Because you're looking at a woman. You see that woman? You see? And just as Yahushua said, woe to you scribes and you Pharisees, because they were making the children of the Most High more than devils in themselves by their teachings. We're going to go through all this today, family, all of this today. Now, what I want to do, I give you the link to the Strong Concordance. And if you go to, let's see, I might have erased it. I think I did, but anyhow, we'll go there. Okay, we'll go there. If you have the links up that I gave you for the Strong Concordance, for men and women, I just want to hit a couple of these words up. I just lost a lot of my notes. I don't know what happened, family, but we're going to go through it because I gave you the link. Go ahead and hit up daughters. Go ahead and hit up daughters. We're going to get some meaning. That should be Hebrews 13:23. Just go ahead and click on the red Hebrews 13:23. You're going to get many meanings for this word. One meaning is the word daughter, a girl, adopted daughter, daughter-in-law, sister. Okay, all that. Go to the next one. It's going to say designation of women of a particular place as personification, daughter villages, description of character. Then it says young women. Now, many people have not properly learned how to use the Strong Concordance. They'll stop right there and say, see? It's talking about a female. It's talking about a woman. Well, let's go a little deeper. If you look up where it says root etymology, okay, all you're doing is going to the most purest form of that word, okay? That's all you're doing, going to the most purest form of that word. Let's go to Hebrews 11:21. Go ahead and click on Hebrews 11:21. Let's see what it says. Now, remember, this is for the word daughters. When you get there, it's going to say ben, B-E-N. That's what Hebrews 11:21 means, ben. And it's going to tell you son, grandson, child, member of a group, son, male, grandson, children, plural, male and female. Okay, young men, youths, people of a nation, people of a nation. And that's in the outline of biblical usage. That's G, people of a nation. That's what the daughters, this people of a nation, what nation? Well, Israel. Let's go back now. I want you guys just to look at a couple things here. I think it's important that we look at these words because it's not being taught properly. If you go ahead and hit the word Zion, which is Hebrews 67:26. Go look it up in your own Strong Concordance. If you don't have one, get on the internet. The Blue Bible, I just gave the link out. Go take a chance and, you know, say, wait, I just might learn something. Let me go ahead and click and see what this reads. Is she making this up? Because we've been taught that the daughters of Zion is that old filthy woman who think herself so much, who's a liberated woman, a Hebrew black woman. No. Let's see what the Father's Word says. When we go to the word Zion, Zion is Hebrews 67:26. It says, parched place, another name for Jerusalem, especially in the prophetic books. Okay, it will say Zion and Zion, spelled one with a Z, one with a S. Now it says, a sunny place, a sunny mountain, from root, a fortress. Okay, it says, the radical H is retained in, well, it doesn't matter about that. Let's see. This was part of the notes I had already highlighted. I'm going to go find them. They're in my notes somewhere, at least in my stockpile. But let's just go there and read what the genus lexicon says about Zion. Okay, if you go to the genus lexicon, help towards the, just scroll down a little bit, you'll get to there. It'll talk about a hill, a southern hill, and so forth. But I want to get to, it's called the City of David. Keep going down. Used by the prophets and the poets for Jerusalem itself. It says, and its inhabitants. It didn't say just the male inhabitants, and its inhabitants. It says, very often used by the prophets and the poets for Jerusalem itself. We're talking about Zion, right? The word Zion. And its inhabitants, okay? This is our land we're talking about. This is scriptural time, biblical history. This is not what you see over there today. It says, and its inhabitants. It gives you examples, and I pray that those links didn't get lost because I did open a couple up for you. But it says they are also poetically called the daughter of Zion. Speaking of Israel, okay? This daughter of Zion, when we looked up the word daughter, it showed us that when you go to the purest form, many times things are written in a descriptive nature of either male or female. They might say brethren. Well, we know the brethren are all the children of Israel. Same thing here. No different. Anybody wants to tell you that when they speak of a man, it's just talking to the men? Not always. No, that's not true. Brethren, it's not talking just to the brothers, as many like to claim. When it speaks of the daughters of Zion, it's definitely not talking about a woman. Okay? And we're going to go to that, because I know you guys know that verse. I've given it out before. But it says, excuse me, it says that Zion are the women of Jerusalem. You'll find that in there. Once followed by, well, I'm not even going to get into the rest. It says Zion of the Holy One of Israel, sacred to him. So we're talking about the children of Israel that are sacred to the Most High, his children. Okay? Now, I want to take you guys a couple other places. I didn't want to go into those. Like I said, I'm going blind right now because all my notes got clattered at the last second. But when you get the understanding that many times in Scripture, especially in the Old Covenant, the daughter of Zion was talking about, speaking of Israel. Speaking of Israel, let's go to Isaiah 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. okay, to get just a little bit more understanding, okay? Because I'm going to be saying some stuff in a little bit, and I don't want nobody to wonder why I'm saying it. First, we got to go to what the Father's Word says, and that's a blessing when we hear what the Father's Word says. Let's know the truth. You know, a lot of people, they like to stand in evilness, wickedness, and ignorance. But our Father even told us, my children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if you reject this knowledge that we're bringing out, teaching the Father's Word right here, the Father says he'll reject you. So like I just stated, let's go over to Isaiah. And I'm going to read in Isaiah 1, verses 1 through 9. We're talking about the daughters of Zion here. Let's just get a little bit of understanding. It's always a good thing, family, to really know the truth of what our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, has to say. In Isaiah 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Ahaziah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for you who have spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people latent with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken Yahuwah. They have provoked the Holy One, or the set apart one of Israel, unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So this whatever was going on in the time of Isaiah is still going on today. It says your country, okay, we're talking about Jerusalem, is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. We're talking about this daughter of Zion. We're talking about the children of Israel have gone under a captivity family, and Zion itself is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now, you know that there were many captivities, that there were many of the destruction of the time of Solomon. They destroyed Solomon's temple. Then back again, when we went to Babylon captivity, and when we came out, we rebuilt it again. And Yahushua proclaimed that that would be destroyed. So, you know, we're talking about our land. But the inhabitants, we just read in the Strong Concordance, when we talk about Zion, the land, the people, that was us. That was Jerusalem, the city of David. Who was supposed to have that land? Well, Israel, not just the men. See, the daughter of Zion went under captivities because of disobedience to our Heavenly Father, not hearkening to his word. All right. I'm going to finish reading that since I did put a couple more verses in there. Except Yahuwah of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. See, when he chastises people, he did it in increments. Because if he has to chastise us, which I think it's in the Songs of Solomon or the Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha, it says that, and I'm just paraphrasing, it says that if he had to chastise us like he chastised the heathen, that there would not be any of us left. So he gave it out in small increments. All these captivities we went under, we're going to hit one of them that is going to relate to end time prophecy. What should you be doing right now? The daughter of Zion, what should she be doing? We're going to learn that. First, let's go over to Isaiah 3, verses 16 and 17, I want to read for you, because it also talks about the daughters of Zion, okay? When you go to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, I'm going to read it for you. Moreover, Yahuwah saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making tinkling with their feet. Therefore, Yahuwah smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and Yahuwah will discover their secret places. Now, when you go look up the word daughter, which I did, and I don't have the link to give you because I didn't, well, maybe I do. Hold up a second. Let me see. I think I do. I'll give you the link that I have. Okay. Well, this one just takes you to still talking about the same thing where it's talking about people of a nation, plural. Okay, but that's not what I want to give you, so I'm just going to go straight to what I have in my notes. If you go to the lexicon part, and that's where I am, it's going to tell you, and I'm just going to read the highlighted parts. I have them in my notes, but you can click on the link and find it yourself. It's in the Strong Concordance. When you hit for the word daughters, okay, the daughters of Zion, daughters, that word. Okay, you're going to get to, and let me just click it again. It's going to take you right back to the word ben, which is Hebrews 11:21. Okay, talking about sons, young children. It's talking about people of a nation, that one right there. When you go there, here's what's interesting. It tells you, by a particular idiom of Hebrew and Syriac, daughter, like other feminines, is used by the poets collectively for sons and daughters. And it says, and daughter of a city or region or people is used poetically for its inhabitants. Okay? My people, Isaiah 22:4 speaks of that. Same thing. They give you all these examples. It's letting you know it's speaking about when it used the feminine word that we know in the English as daughters. Usually when we talk to somebody about our daughter, it's a girl, it's a female. But when we read it in Scripture, these daughters are the people, collectively. Okay, the inhabitants of a particular city, a region. Okay, so giving just a little understanding, if you go down a little further, what gave us an example is Isaiah 1:8. And it's talking about my people. You'll see that word highlighted in my show notes. But it's on the Genus Lexicon Help. You'll see where it talks about my people. That's what the daughters of Zion are, his people. Okay? And for note number 9, or definition number 9, it says it is supposed to mean a branch of a tree. We speak of the word daughter, okay? The daughters, which is the branch of a fruit tree. That's what you'll find in the Genus Lexicon. Speaking of the word daughters of Zion, daughter, okay, it says a branch of a tree. The daughters, that is, the branches of a fruit tree. Keep going a little further, and, of course, you will get to those words while we're showing you with Hebrews 11:21, Ben, talking about children, male and female, people of a nation, sons, children, man, people, strangers. This is all the same word speaking of the Hebrews. We cannot take it somewhere else and make it mean something else. If the Father's word says, I changed not, and he, in the old covenant he had a people, he don't take what is well known as the daughter of Zion being the nation of his people to go into new covenant and say, daughters of Zion in Isaiah 3 and 4, let's get to it. Let's go to 4 real quick. This woman, all these teachings about this woman, somebody's playing folly with you. When you go to Isaiah 4, it says, and in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And a lot of people are teaching that this is speaking that there's going to be one man to 7 women. They're teaching that multiple wives still. When Yahushua said it, you know, the divorcement was put in the added because of, Moses added that because of you. Okay, the unrighteousness in the people. He said, but it's as it was in the beginning that a man shall leave his mother and, you know, get with his wife. The two flesh shall be one. Didn't say one man and seven women. This is not speaking about actual he, she, people that you see today. It's not speaking about that. No, no, no. It's speaking about Israel. Because remember, we're talking about the daughter of Zion. It's talking about Israel. And we won't be a whorish woman, which means we won't be fornicating or worshiping all these false deities. We're going to be with the bridegroom. When it tells you that right there in Isaiah 4, verse 1, in that day, seven women could be assemblies, or people like to say churches, but that's a feminine word that is there, not because it's talking about they're going to have these seven women here, ain't going to have no man, but this one man going to have these seven, no. No seven women to one man. That, look, you fantasizing. Stop it. Our Father is talking about the daughter of Zion. He's talking about his people. When you get to this verse in Isaiah 4, verse 1, it says, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Because before, if we know that these women are speaking of Israel, we know that Israel was taking all these deities. Go to the Old Covenant and read it. But now he's saying that in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. What one man you think they're going to take a hold of? I can start naming off some Hebrew elders who teach that it'll be a Hebrew man, but I don't think the Father was speaking of any of them. See, if you understand that we are the betrothed, they call it the church or the assembly, okay? We are the betrothed, we're the woman, we're the church in the scripture. It's only those English words that confuse people. Some people have just been taught a lie by someone deceiving them, and intentionally, I might add. But when you get to understand the betrothed or the future husband or the bridegroom, that's Yahushua. So they're talking about all these assemblies, all these, this is Israel. They're going to take a hold of this one man. Well, that's their husband. That's who they should have took a hold of, instead of going after every deity under the sun. And they say, we will eat our own bread, because remember, Israel was out there fornicating with all the other nations and their gods. Go back to Judges chapter 2, get understanding. And wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. They ain't trying to take no Hebrew man's name. Talk about Yahuwah and Yahushua. We are his children. We are the bride. We want to be called by our husband's name. That's Yahushua. Understand? It says to take away our reproach. There's nobody can take away the reproach of anybody on this earth. Nobody can remove a sin. I don't care that they teach you in Christianity that you got to go and confess to a man who's called a priest or a father or a Jesuit or somebody for your confessions. He give you so many Hail Marys and all this other stuff to say and our fathers, and then your sins are forgiven. Or if you just go back a couple hundred years ago, hey, you got enough money, I can get rid of any sin depending on what your sin is and if you got enough money. We're not talking that nonsense. The only one who can forgive a sin is our Father. So, you see, I'm going to read a little bit further. I'm going to reread what I just read in Isaiah 4. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of Yahuwah be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called set apart, every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When Yahuwah shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, the nation of Israel, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the set-apart spirit of judgment and by the set-apart spirit of burning. Judgment will go out. It's not going out to just those women. No, judgment is going out to Israel. Some will listen, some will not. Good example, go to the New Covenant. When Yahushua was there teaching the truth, many people heard him. A lot of people didn't hear him. A lot of people were listening to the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones who were sitting in Moses' seat, the flesh thinkers. That's still going on today. They're pouring down that law. The law, the law, the law says they're pouring judgment on people. You need to take off them pants. You set yourself to go straight to hell. You need to observe this feast day. You need to dip yourself in some water, and now you're saved. You need to do this. You need to do that. And they're excluding Yahushua. That's what they're doing. Excluding Yahushua. Anyhow, it tells us, verse 3, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called set apart, every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When Yahuwah shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And Yahuwah will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies, those assemblies, people, that's the women, the seven women that we read about in Isaiah 4:1. Hope y'all getting it. And Yahuwah will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, still talking about the city, and upon her assembly. Okay, they call it the woman before, a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storms and from rain. When we take these scriptures and say that the daughter of Zion is something different than what the old covenant says. Oh, no, no, it's not talking about Israel no more. Now we're going to jump to this Hebrew woman. And we got a lot more to say about the Hebrew woman. We're going to use words like daughters of Zion. Some people know that they're teaching wrong because I hear it in their lessons. Because they'll go to this other verse, speak about the daughters of Zion in the old covenant and tell you that's Israel. And when it tells you that those who lead you to error, those who rule over you, you know, have led Israel to error, well, we know in the old covenant it was men. So how could, if the men led the people, they were ruling the people, okay, no doubt about that, we can read it. Why did the father want to put the man over the woman with all these false lies of obedience? Shut your mouth, don't open your mouth, you can't teach, you can't do certain things, and you have to obey your husband. The man has to deal with that woman, or the brother, or the husband, but the man just waits for Yahushua to get him, if he's out of line. If he's beating you up, hey, pray for your husband, don't leave him, don't divorce him. He can divorce you, but you can't divorce him. Does that sound like our Heavenly Father? If all Israel sinned, why is the woman getting punished? And I say these verses because, and these I give these examples so people can really start thinking. I know we have a lot of sisters out there who really need to hear this. And I said as well for the brothers because they become just as unrighteous following these men. It goes into a lot more, family. We'll get there. All right. Let me go down a little bit further. Now, comely and woman, I went through the strong concordance for that as well. When you get to, excuse me, when you get to, let's see, which verse was that? Okay. Okay, I know where it is. I wanted to just show everybody. I think you guys already heard this before. If you didn't, you need to really meditate on it. When we go to the Old Covenant and they know the daughter of Zion is speaking of Israel, then they flip over to the New Covenant, act like they ain't got no clue at all, and tell you is that Hebrew sister. Oh, boy, get on her bad. Daughter of Zion, if they're telling you and quoting to you the Torah, if they're telling you how to precept, how to get the truth of the word, and then they happen to overlook Jeremiah 6:2. Jeremiah 6:2 talks about the daughter of Zion. Let's read what it says. It says, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. Now this is Jeremiah. This is still Old Covenant. They've read other verses in Old Covenant and let you know that's talking about Israel. So when you get to this daughter of Zion, it's going to be the same lookup numbers. Go check it out. It's the same numbers. And you see that the daughter of Zion is always speaking about Israel, the nation of people, both the men and the women. You get to Jeremiah 6:2, and it states, I have likened the daughter of Zion, talking about Israel. Here's what I'm going to compare her to, because the father thought we were precious to him. He said, to a comely and delicate woman. He got to make you think. When we think of something that's comely, something that's delicate, in today's world they're going to say a flower or a rose or something, but we know that our father was speaking about people. He wasn't talking about the nature of the land. He was speaking about his people. And we know that the women, that was something that, you know, for some reason people think that the women just became outrageous in the today's world. But in the Old Covenant, they were righteous. Many of them were righteous, and many of them were wicked. It went across the board. We can read about it. But the father was speaking about that upright sister. And he wanted to compare that upright sister to the daughter of Zion. When they looked at her, they knew she was righteous. So they made it to a woman. Many people might see a woman who they would call very spiritual, and she's, you know, she reads her scriptures, and she has a delicate way of talking to you, and is very impressionable. Oh, that's a comely woman. You know, that's a delicate woman. Well, that's how the father compared his people, Zion, the daughters of Zion, to this woman. Very delicate and loved. We are the beloved. I know you know that. If you go, family, and I'm just going to go there. Let's see. Another place, the comely and woman were two places in the Strong Concordance that they talk about the daughters of Zion. And I'm going to bring them up. When you go look for the word comely and woman, because that's what I looked up was Jeremiah 6:2, and highlighted words were in red, comely and woman. So when I hit up comely and woman in the Strong Concordance, it also brought me to 1 Corinthians 11:13. Why do I bring up that one? Well, let's go there. If we just talked about Jeremiah 6:2, as well as Isaiah 3:4, as well as other scriptures that talk about the daughters of Zion being Israel, and in Jeremiah 6:2, it told us that Israel, I have likened Israel to a comely and delicate woman. That's who the daughters of Zion are. Well, when you go to 1 Corinthians 11, and they have verse 13, but I'm going to read 1 through 19 for you real quick. This is Paul. Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Yahushua. Now, I praise you, brethren. I praise you, children of Israel, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know, this is why I bring you to this part. If you know the daughters of Zion, if you know it's talking about Israel, by the time you come to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 19, giving you the same Strong Concordance link and all, you're going to know it's still talking about Israel. By the time you come to what Paul is talking about, the power of authority, we're going to dispel the lies, because if it's telling you that the daughters of Zion is Israel, all Old Covenant will tell you it's Israel. You get to the New Covenant, they lie about who the word daughter, oh, that's a woman. Nope, we just read it in the Strong Concordance. It means sons, men, women, plural, people. inhabitants. So we're talking about the children of Jerusalem. Talking about Israel. So when we get to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 19, and Paul is letting you know that order of authority, and specifically we're going to hit verse 13, but let's get there. He says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Yahushua." Now he says, "I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man," and the word every man means same thing. It could be church, women. It's talking about all the people. It's a plural word, every man. Okay? So the head of every Hebrew is Yahushua. And the head of the woman, which is Israel, the comely and delicate woman that's daughter of Zion. So it says the head of the woman, the head of the assembly, is the man. What man? The man. Well, we're talking about Yahushua. And the head of Yahushua is the Father. That's giving you the three powers or orders of authority. You got Yahuwah, Yahushua, and then you got Israel, the daughters of Zion, the ones that the Father are going to take back, regather, the same ones that he had to punish the chastisement and the curses and scatter us across the four corners of the earth. Same ones. Father says, "I change not." Yahushua let you know who he came back for. We already went over those scriptures that talk about they put the words Jews, Gentiles, Romans, this, that, this, Hittites, making you think that when you go to the Old Covenant, strangers, sojourners, and this and that, it's talking about other nations. No, this whole book is about us. Whole book. Talking about Israel. Every blue moon, it'll really distinguish if they're talking about a Gentile from another nation. Or a heathen. Sometimes it means us, sometimes it means somebody else. But the Father ain't gathering, or shall I say regathering, anyone back but his children. So when you get the understanding, it says every man, the head of every Hebrew is Yahushua. And the head of the assembly is Yahushua. The head of Yahushua is the Father, Yahuwah. It's only three powers of authority. And then it talks about every man praying or prophesying and having his head covered dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now we went over this Corinthians. I'm not going to go over it all today. Go back to our show. Look in the archives. We've done it. But I want to go forward to a particular part. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of the Most High, but the woman is the glory of man. See, it's going to go back and forth, but it's giving you a similitude to a man and a woman. Other times it's talking about a man and a woman. Other times it's talking about the children of Israel. When they use the word every man or the woman in those prior verses, go back to the show. I'm not going to go through all that. But understand what the scriptures are saying. Now, I want to keep going because I want to get to verse 13 here. I want to get some understanding. It also talks about verse 8, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither," and let me stop there. If you say that verse 10 and verse, let's see, if you think these are talking about a literal man and a woman, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man," not understanding that it's talking about Yahushua and Israel. And then you come to verse 10, it says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." Well, if that's the case, I can recall many places in Scripture where the angels attacked the men as well as the women. Because the angels were set to attack the unrighteous. And when any part of Israel was unrighteous, Father sent his angels. Sometimes they were called seraphims, you know. when Israel did not obey. So this verse just voids out that thinking that, well, a woman got to have a man. That's her covering, because men are getting taunted by these deceptive angels as well. Remember the apocalypse of Abraham? We read it, where that one angel was trying to talk to Abraham. He said, I don't utter one word to him. I'm talking about a bad angel, okay? Because the moment you do, that he has free will and might over you, power over you. And that was Abraham we were talking about right there in the apocalypse of Abraham. It's in the Apocrypha, or that might be in the Pseudepigrapha, but it's there. Go look it up. Well, that means if that is what is being said, not only there, but a couple other places where men were dealing with these angels as well, that this is not talking about a literal man or a woman. That power of authority that you thought meant Yahuwah, Yahushua, man, then woman. Those verses and the prophecies that are not even being spoken of properly in Genesis 3. That don't mean the man is ruling over the woman. No, no, he gonna rule over the woman. You know, we know what man will rule over what woman with a rod of iron. And we're talking about Yahushua over Israel. A lot of verses are getting screwed up now, family. But let's keep going. Verse 12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of the Most High. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman praying unto Yahuwah uncovered? Who's the woman? The woman is Israel. The covering. When we left off to worship these other idols and images, we didn't have the covering of the Most High. We didn't have all you got to do is read the Old Covenant, understand what was taking place. Go back through the Book of Kings, find out there. Go back to the Book of Judges. Go back through even Samuel. Remember Saul? Saul even went to the Witch of Endor. Father wasn't dealing with him no more. Actually, because he did not obey. But he sent an evil spirit to even attack Saul. All I'm trying to show everyone is you can't go from the Old Covenant, and it's talking about a people, and then take that same word and go to the New Covenant and pinpoint a certain sexual orientation of people within the nation of Israel. You can't do that. Father didn't do it. Okay? So, it says, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto the Most High uncovered? And then it goes in talking about, doth not, this is Paul, this is verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you? Now remember, Paul, when he was teaching, he was reading letters and he was rebuking many who had learned under the scribes and the Pharisees. He tells you, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But that's not speaking of the spiritual nature. That's a fleshly thing he's speaking of. Remember, what you see today was going on back then. Just as you see the rampage of gayism taking place, that was taking place back then. When they speak about the garments, the woman ought not to wear the garments of a man. Now, that's not talking about a pair of pants. That's not talking about a pair of pants at all. The other nations, everything we had in the Torah was given to us for the protection of our people because the other nations were doing it. What you see going on today, you could go all over, you see them doing every foul thing that could be possible, and it's okay. Recently, for those of you who have been, you know, going over to the website, I posted a video. This one brother who is gay, was gay, let's say that, he was gay. And let me see, I'm going to just get there, because I want to make sure I give the right name on this one. I'm going to give the link too, as well. Hold up a second, family. I'm going to give you the link, and I'm going to give you a little quick synopsis for your understanding. Because a lot of people just don't get it. But you will. You will. Let me go ahead and I'm opening up my homepage to our site because I want to just speak on this just for a second. I actually put this in the notes that's on our front page. And I think that if anybody goes over there, you can probably get it yourself. I'm going to give the link site that I'm at to the chat line in case you guys want to go take a look at what I'm speaking of. I don't think you can open up the notes themselves, but you can at least go and, you know, copy the title and Google it yourself, unless you're a family member, okay? But I'm going to tell you what it is anyhow. It says Hebrew Israelites. Okay, that was my title. The title said Antoine Dodson is now a Hebrew Israelite and, oh, I got to click a link here. It says he's and no longer gay. Now, I put a video up there, and I will give the link to the video to the website. But I just told you the name of the video. And you see, right here, that's the link to the video. Okay. It says, Anton Dodson is now a Hebrew Israelite and no longer gay. Well, in the video that I just gave everyone, I don't know if this is the right one or not, to be honest with you, because there were many out there, and I put a lot on our website. Let me just go ahead and open up that link. Because what happened, family, was he was giving his testimony to how he came into the truth and that he knows that being gay isn't right. Now, remember, the other nations, gay was always a plan. So it didn't matter. Look at the Romans. You know they were the Greeks. You know they were loving little boys. I'm not saying anything that's wrong. I'm telling the truth. That has always been their little thing they do. That's why we had the Torah. They slept with each relatives. Mother, son. They slept with father, daughter, brother, and sister. That was they were doing it. Bestiality. The other nations are still doing that. They promote the wickedness. So this one man, Anton Dodson, is now a Hebrew Israelite, okay? And he's not gay anymore. He came out with this video, and it was interesting because Edom was interviewing him from the other nations. Now, remember, they always did this. And they really, if you really listen to what they did, they were like letting you know that something's wrong with him. He got a problem. Oh, so you miraculously now, you know, like, what's wrong with being gay? Go listen to it. The whole plan is to get our people into wickedness. Satan is trying hard on every side to cover every angle to keep our people wicked. And the hurting part is, when we get to the scribes and the Pharisees, you know that was right there up in Israel. If you understand Genesis 3:15, if you understand that many of them will not see the truth, many of those who we say the serpent see, but what we're saying is they have a different spirit, okay? But they will never see the truth. Many of them teach the lie. Many of them have no problem with that I'm going to push gayism on you. That's not one of the things recorded that they do. But one of the things that's recorded that they do is they teach against Yahushua. And many people are looking for the words, we don't like Yahushua, we don't like Christ, we don't like Jesus. No, that's not what's going to be said. It's going to be hidden in what they're telling you. That's why you don't see it. It's right in front of you what they're saying. And I'll give you an example in a second. But they really went all out their way for this young man. And I pray everybody had a chance to watch that. And go to the notes because I have several videos listed. And I want everybody to take a look at that. So let's go a little further. Anyhow, remember these are letters that Paul's writing. And when we linked it up, we were linking up 1 Corinthians. Let me just go there one more time so I can give it to you. When you look for the comely and the woman, still speaking of the daughters of Zion, go to Jeremiah 6:2. The daughters of Zion is to a comely, is likened unto a comely and delicate woman. When you look it up yourself to 1 Corinthians 11:13, you're going to find out that the words that they're speaking of is still going into the woman. And I use the word comely, but they're different numbers given to them. But remember, you're talking about Old Covenant, New Covenant. It's going to link up back to the same words. And that's why it says Jeremiah 6:2, still speaking of the daughters of Zion, they're giving you the expression of as a woman. Same thing as the daughters of Zion in New Covenant. It's still speaking of Israel. But they're liking all the definitions to Israel, female, like a woman. Okay, the woman, she's going to have 1-7 women, which is still delicate woman, to one man. The man is Yahushua. We go over to Corinthians, same thing here in Corinthians. They're talking about the woman is, it says the head of the woman, Israel, is the man, Yahushua. Okay, it's giving you three powers of authority. By the time you get down to, and I want to go there real quick, verse 11 says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in Yahuwah. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of the Most High. Verse 13, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto Yahuwah uncovered? Huh? It's not speaking about a woman, family. It's speaking about Israel. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it's glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. Now remember, we read in, Isaiah 3, was talking about a bald head and everything. People look at this verse and say, no, that's still talking about a woman. Because, see, the glory of a woman is a woman's hair. So she's, you know, if he put a scab on her head, that's to punish her. But they don't understand. It's not talking about a woman. It's talking about Israel. Because Israel sinned. All Israel sinned. Okay? Let's keep going on. It says, but if a woman have long hair, it's glorious to her. Verse 16. It says, but if any man, this is Paul because he's rebuking. He just started talking about the proper order of authority, and he was talking about Israel not hearkening to our father and going after these other deities. You can read about that all in New Covenant. But he says, but if any man seemeth to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the assembly of the Most High. Because he going over all this stuff. He's even telling you about the shamefulness of the hair and all that. We know that many of the other nations, you can see it even in the movies. When they talk about the garments, they're still talking about this gayism that was going around then. It's still here today. And Paul is letting you know, if you got a problem with this, we have no such customs, neither the assemblies of the Most High. Okay? 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. When they come together, they're not doing the Most High. They're doing traditions of men. He's talking about, Paul is just talking about these customs that they're doing. It tells us, and I'm just in case you're keeping up with me, I'm going to read 17 again. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. He's not giving them any credit, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worst. Remember, he was talking to the lost sheep who had learned under the scribes and the Pharisees. For first of all, when ye come together in the assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partially believe it. Now, I partly believe it. That's like today. How many divisions do you see among the Hebrew Israelite groups with their teachings? Huh, a lot. Paul's speaking the same thing. Ain't nothing new underneath the sun. He says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, if you continue to read, you will hear Paul rebuke the learned misteachings of the scribes and Pharisees. He'll tell you in verse 22, what? After he read what they did and what they said, he says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the assembly of the Most High? Because he gave them the truth of it. And shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Paul's going to have that same comment, what? After he reads the letter, many times when you go into Scripture, when Paul's reading, he's reading a letter of what they say. A woman ought not to, how's it go? She should not teach in a church or something. Teaching the, I don't know, the men got that all screwed up. And then the first verse goes like this. I always pick it up here where it says that the Father, you who is not the author of confusion. Then he reads the letter. Right after he reads the letter that tells a woman that she can't open her mouth in the congregation while they're in the assembly of modern-day church, I guess you can call it, Paul says, what? Because he can't believe what he's hearing. But he knows that his brothers and sisters who are lost sheep have learned a lie. That's why the apostles had to go out and teach. So Paul says in verse 22 in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the assembly of the Most High, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He's letting you know he wasn't pleased with what Israel had learned. Okay, we can go to Galatians 4, and I want to go there. Galatians 4, and I'm going to give you guys the link. See, this little bit of truth, I'm going to tell you in a second. I got some more stuff for you guys, but it does a lot of damage. Okay. I was reading a comment from our sister. Okay. There's the link, family. Oh, all right. Brother John, shalom. I'm so glad to see you here. Okay, Sister Lakeisha. Okay, child of Ahia. Shalom, shalom. Shabbat shalom. All right, I want to finish up this. I want to go to Galatians. I just gave everybody Galatians 4 on the chat line. Okay, we're going to go somewhere. Galatians 4, I'm going to read it for you. Now, I say, remember, Galatians is Paul. Many people say Paul is a liar because there's so many conflicting parts. They don't get that he's reading a letter. They don't get that he's rebuking. They don't get that he's coming to everyone at their own level. He knew the condition of our people. He knew that people, a lot of them don't want the truth. A lot of them are very persuaded by teachers, those who sit in positions ready to come down on you and teach. That person's no good. That person did this. That person, you know, and people believe it. Why do you think that the judges and all that stuff that we had that was so sacred and precious to us, the Father did away with that. He said he's going to put us under captivity. We're going to learn our lesson. We weren't making good judgment in the land. Our hearts weren't right. We didn't obey. Well, a lot of those people, just like Paul and Peter and all the other prophets and the apostles, they had to rebuke people. That's what Paul was doing a lot of, and many people just don't get it. Let's go to Galatians 4. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be master of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. He gonna get woke up. Let's just hope that he accepts the truth. It says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. Now, children, it don't, yes, you know how children are. Children, they're forever learning, and they're learned or taught, especially by this world. But someone who is not in the truth, they're going to learn a lie. That's what's been done to many of our people. Even when some of us wake up to being a Hebrew, see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they said they was Hebrews, but they were teaching something that was against the Most High. That's why he called them hypocrites, blind guides. You know, they were teaching against the truth. So it says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, Yahuwah sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, talking about the children of the Most High, all of them, that's another word, sons, because ye are sons, I ain't talking about a little boy, I ain't talking about a man, I'm talking about the children of the Most High, you who has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of Most High through Yeshua. See, family, you can't go to these verses, and I always hear about how the brothers have to get together for this. Well, you know, it's nice if that's what you want to say. That's wonderful. But if you're excluding, many of these sites exclude and say, because the women aren't allowed to participate, they aren't allowed to open their mouth. So it's the brothers got to get together, the brothers. No, it's the Father ain't separating nobody. It's Israel got to come together. Break bread with your brother. That's your sister and your brother, your family. Don't take these words like son and think it's talking about a man. Words like king. Sometimes the word priest and think it's just talking about a man. It's not. Okay? If you take a little time to research those words and see what the Father is really speaking of course, you got to be using a set-apart spirit. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many don't get the truth. That's why the Father lifts up certain people to teach the truth, and it's spiritual. That's why not too many people have it. Tell you brought us that way for destruction. What more you want? The Father gave it to you in His Word. If it's in His Word and we can show you where those things are so, why do you do like Paul did at one point and kick against the wall, kicking against them? It's right there. It says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of the Most High through Christ, or excuse me, through Yahushua. It says, how be it then? When ye knew not the Most High, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Israel, all the daughters of Zion, the haughty ones, they had many lovers. They were harlots, whores. For what? The other nations and their deities. Go to Judges chapter 2. It's all the same thing being repeated is what I'm showing you. But sometimes the words make you think, oh, it's talking about something else. Read. Take time and study our Father's Word. We do weekly Bible readings. I haven't done one lately because the Father told me, back off. Sometimes people need to go back through the material we do. And I'm looking at the numbers that come across, and I'm giving everybody a chance to get caught up because I'm ready to go. But I don't want you to be left behind or call in when we just discussed that, but you haven't listened to the lesson. See, it's not my responsibility to hold anyone by the hand. It's your responsibility to go back through the archives. It's your responsibility, if you don't understand something, to call in when we have a question and answer show. This stuff is right before you. Nobody should be lost on our site. But anyhow, if you are, I don't mind asking the questions, but make sure you've at least taken time to go through the shows. You know, that's why I try not to do too many, because I know I'm leaving people behind. I can tell by the questions. Okay, and I don't mind. I don't want you to think I mind, because I know that many have been taught the physical, the flesh. And when you go through the spiritual understanding, which is the truth of the Father's Word, but you just can't see it, you've not been taught that. And when it gets a understanding that, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. Oh, I got to go through this material again. Sometimes you need a little time. And many of us still work. Many of us have children. Many of us do things. So I want to give everybody a little time. Father had me pull off and give me more time to go through new books and everything myself. But, you know, that's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. You got to see what's important to you, the Father's Word or the lie or this world, the things of the flesh. What's important? We all have at least 10 minutes. You know how just before you go to bed, you're not really tired, but, you know, hey, most people, when they crack open the scriptures, they always get tired. But at least you get in at least maybe one chapter. And then mark it, and then the next night, try it again. And pretty soon, you're going to be through a full book. You know? Okay. All right. Excuse me. So it tells you, how be it then? When ye knew not Yahuwah, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that, ye have known the Most High, or rather, are known of Him, that's speaking of Yahuwah, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, wherewith ye desire again to be in bondage? Many of our people, Yahushua was talking about those sitting in Moses' seat put heavy burdens on you, and they put you in bondage. I know after I listen to the daughter of Zion for Isaiah 3 and 4, and then they will go to other scriptures in the scriptures that talk about children and women, not even talking about the Hebrew Israelite children or the woman. But they take it and they run with it. All this stuff they think is talking about a woman. And they're putting bondage on the Hebrew sisters. And they're making the Hebrew sisters as well as the men more devils than themselves with that false teaching. But they run with this family. That's what I'm trying to say. Let me take a sip of my tea. Hold up. I thank y'all for bearing with me because y'all know I do a lot of talking during the week. Anyhow, so we're getting an understanding that it's very important to know who the daughters of Zion are and not to change it in Scripture. And to understand that if you don't change it in Scripture, you understand that Paul was writing letters, understand the Scriptures were written in the English in a masculine form because that was the plot to deceive you. Remember the Willie Lynch pit the man against the woman. Okay? Everything that we're seeing now, when the true people will wake up, they got a plan for you again. They're going to give you another lie. And usually that's the one. If you already know who the other nations are, you're not listening to that garbage. But then you think, well, he like me, he got skin like me, hair like mine. He telling us that we are a chosen people. Let me listen to him. But see Satan come up and snatch you again because you don't know that many of them have a different spirit that's teaching you. I'm going to go through it. You think I'm just talking. I'm going to go through it. Paul let us know a lot. Let's continue reading what Paul had to say. But now, after that ye are known of the Most High, at verse 9, or rather are known of the Most High, how ye turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, children of Israel, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. And ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of the Most High, even as Yahushua. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might afflict them. Now, I want to read that particular verse 17, they zealously afflict you. I want to read that from the New International Version because you might get a better understanding. Remember, Paul was given the truth. He was bearing record of Yahushua. Many of our people rejected the truth, and they didn't want to hear what Paul had to say. We can go through Scripture and read that. So he says, am I therefore become your enemy? You're going to find out we got some enemies in the Scriptures, not always of the other nations. That's what I'm trying to show you here. Because I tell you the truth. Why was Paul an enemy to these people who are our people? Well, because he was telling them the truth. He was rebuking the lies that the scribes and the Pharisees had taught. But verse 17 reads better in the New International Version. It says, they zealously affect you, okay, the enemies, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. Now, when you read in the New International Version, just verse 17, and I'm going to read it for you, it says, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may have zeal for them. The same people who are teaching in the of the flesh, there's the scribes and the Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat, the same ones that Yahuwah, John the Baptist, Paul, many others were calling den of vipers and serpents and all this other stuff, going back to Genesis 3:15 family. And you know, we've gone through this many times, how you can always find the trail of the serpent. And all that is, when I say serpent, don't get it twisted. We're talking about a different spirit. Remember why the enemy slept, why the Hebrews slept, the enemy came in and planted a seed, the parable of the wheat and tare? Let them grow up together. Judah and Israel, we talked about this. The regathering back for those who hear the truth. All right. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, go back to the last couple of shows. You'll get it. All right, so where am I at here? Let me get back. So he says, verse 18, but it is good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Okay, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until you, who shall be formed in you. How is Yahushua going to be formed in you? Through the set apart spirit. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He don't like what he's having to say to these Hebrews. He said, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees, many of the people who teach you, the women of Zion, they're on the corner preaching, and God says, our people. They got videos. I got it recorded. It's on YouTube everywhere. See, God says, yelling, passing judgment, calling the children of the daughters of the Most High, the Hebrew women, calling them all kind of names. You got them jeans on, trying to show they get with vulgar words. I'm not going to repeat, because they believe that the daughters of Zion, if whether they are part of the serpent seed or have been taught by the serpent seed, those were a different spirit. But they teach this, and they go on corners yelling with microphones in their mouth, saying all this stuff of the flesh, telling you how you have to be obedient. You can't open your mouth to a man. You this, you that. You know, look, let's go there. Paul wasn't very happy. He says, verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman or a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. This is very interesting. Guess what he says? But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Because remember, Yahushua came to bring things spiritual. If you keep in the flesh, you're keeping the bondage on you. So he says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. They had to set up our spirit, is spiritual. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is Agar. He's not talking, people want to bring Agar into there or Hagar in the old covenant. You know, they say Agar in the New Covenant, the same woman, the Egyptian. But they're not talking, or was she Ethiopian, whatever she was, Agar. They're not talking about her. They're showing you two sets of children, and it's supposed to give you understanding about flesh thinkers and spiritual understanding thinkers, the ones with the set-apart spirit and the ones who still go by the flesh. That's what this understanding is about. He says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genereth bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Let me go a little further. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, after the set apart spirit. Even so is now. We're talking about those who want to push a fleshly understanding and exclude Yahushua, who is spiritual. I'm going to read it again. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. We're the spiritual ones. We're the ones that set up our spirit. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, which was the bondage, which was Ishmael, Hagar's son, okay, the bondage, after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the set apart spirit, and even so it is now. Nevertheless, what said the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman, cast out the flesh thinking, take off the old man, put on the new man, right? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman of the flesh, not of the spirit, but the flesh, shall not be heirs with the son of the free woman, which is the spiritual, the set apart, the called. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Okay. Just in case Israel does not know, and I have to caution you, when you go through some of these scriptures, you're going to find that we have two cases of enemies, okay, to our Father's word. When he talks about those sitting in Moses' seat and so forth, they were the teachers. Okay, they were the teachers. They were the scribes and the Pharisees. We're going to go over those words. See, but you got another set out here. And this is why they make the children of the kingdom more devils than themselves. Because instead of people understanding that the Most High has to lift that person up, and the way you know is by their fruit, and it's got to be along with the scripture. If you understand we're no longer dealing with flesh and blood, Yahushua came to tell you and to bring everything spiritual by telling you, take off that old man, put on the new man, no circumcision of the flesh but of the heart, and everything is spiritual, and people still don't get it. They want to say daughters of Zion, that's flesh, that's a woman, daughter, daughter, daughter. That's not what Yahushua was saying. I didn't recall Yahushua talking about any. Even the woman at the well, we explained that last week. That Samaritan woman. We went into the, talking about all Israel, Judah and Israel, okay, the two nations, northern and southern kingdom. We were talking about Samaria, the woman at Samaria, the well, who had all these husbands, none of them were hers, talking about her idolatrous behavior. We're talking about Israel. Go to the show we did on, that was last week's show, the ending of 2 Samuel. The last show we did in 2 Samuel, we got into that. Go listen to the show. Okay? Y'all got to get out of this flesh-thinking way. I know some of y'all wrap yourselves up like mummies. If y'all like to dress like that, go for it. Nothing wrong with it if that's what you want to do. But don't go telling somebody else they're going to go to hell if they don't do this or they're not righteous because they don't show the works or the put on some kind. They have to do something out of the flesh, the outer garments, to make them more set apart. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that mess. All this daughter of Zion got these women all crazed up. And then the men, they hear it, they go tell another woman. I see the love connection of the riblets, platters of riblets on Facebook. Men out there approaching women. They got two or three wives already. They're going to get some more because of all this nonsense, this false teaching. Daughters of Zion is a big part of it because it sounds like they're talking about a woman. You got to know the truth from the lie. Okay, let's go a little further. I was talking about these two different enemies. One is going to be those who have been taught by the seed of the serpent, which just means someone who is taught by someone with a different spirit. The spirit that they have was not given to them by the Most High. They're going the opposite way, and they went into the way of Cain. The way of Cain, we're talking about the serpent seed. It just means they have a different spirit. But they're teaching nonsense, the scribes and the Pharisees. And our people are gobbling it up, asking for seconds. With this daughter of Zion mess. They go into many other scriptures and really screw it up. And we've been breaking them down in the shows prior, letting you know they ain't talking about that. You even, you might read this way, but what was the topic? What was the topic? Then you're not even on the right topic for some of these things. You're teaching, but it's always to put a caste or division in Israel when they teach all this nonsense. Men and women doing it both. The women who are allowed to speak after the man has told them what they can speak, let's say that. So there are two enemies to the Father's word that's going on right now. Now, in Romans 11, verse 28, Paul tells us, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved of the Father's sake. We're talking about Israel and Judah. We're talking about the northern and the southern kingdom. Remember, Judah stumbled, and through the fall of Judah, Israel had a second chance of coming back in. We went over that last show. Anyhow, it's concerning the gospel. They are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. We got a lot of people out there teaching, and they want to tell you that the Father told me to say this. Father didn't tell you to say none of that. You lying. And I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth. Because if the scripture, you know, how if the Father lifted you up to teach, and we've been showing you where these verses don't mean what you're thinking, you're still doing the same doggone mess and teaching more people, making them more of the children of hell than yourself. And it's years, and you're still getting new shows with the same old message. It's all wrong. And I know y'all didn't hear some of my shows. I know somebody didn't taught y'all something. And you consistently do this, and you make that split. Old Covenant is talking about Israel when it says daughter of Zion. New Covenant is that woman. Screwing everything up. Okay, so when you go look up, and I want to go there. I want to go there. Scribes and Pharisees, family. Scribes and Pharisees. When you go to Matthew 23, it reads, then spake Yahushua to the multitude and to his disciples. Remember, all the people of Israel, some knew, some were called Jews, which are Hebrews, some were called Gentiles, which are all sheep of the house of Israel. So you had the people out there, the multitude, and then you had his soon-to-be apostles, you had his disciples, saying, he told everybody, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That's who's sitting there now. That's who you've been under. When you go look it up, many people don't know what those scribes and Pharisees are like, what they do. What was he saying? Go look it up. When you get to the word speaking of the scribe, it's Greek 5330. And it tells you, I'm just going to read a little bit of the outline of biblical usage in the Strong Concordance. You listen to some of these shows going on now. You tell me, which one are they? Are they of the actual serpent seed that won't get it ever right? Are they the ones who have hearkened to those who are teaching against Yahushua? And they're just spreading the lie that they have been taught instead of seeking out the Father. They would tell you, hey, I was lifted up to tell you and get on this corner because, see, hey, I'm a man. I'm supposed to do this. It's part of my heritage. The Father going to lift you up. He ain't looking at a vessel. If you was meant to be lifted up, you're going to know this truth that I'm speaking now is in the Father's word. When you look at the word Pharisees, it tells us, and that's Greek 5330, it says, a sect that seems to have started after the Hebrew exile. In addition to Old Testament books, the Pharisees recognized in oral traditions, those are the ones that is not as is written, family. They got their own standards. A standard of belief and life. They sought for distinction and praise by outward observance of external rites and by outward forms of piety. They thought they were, like the world will say, holy by external things. And they were observing these feast days, holidays, and all this. So they, you know, the Shabbat day. We read about it in the New Covenant before. Y'all know what's going on. I want to get to this. Okay. It's talking about the Pharisees. It says, and such as ceremonial washings, fasting, prayers, and alms, givings, and comparatively negligent of genuine piety or negligent righteousness. They pride themselves on their fancy good works. Hey, I got my tassels on. I'm going to get on the street corner and yell and teach everybody. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The Father didn't tell them to do some of this stuff. I'm going to tell that sister about herself. I'm going to tell that brother, you need to get your house in order. You better put your foot on that woman's neck, and you supposed to teach. She should shut up. She got to know her rightful place. You know, wickedness. This is wicked. People get mad because I say this stuff, but somebody got to say it. Somebody got to say it. Let's go for what it says in the Strong Concordance outline of biblical usage. It says, according to Josephus, now, I'm not a big fan of Josephus, but anyhow, according to Josephus, they numbered more than 6,000, okay? And I guess I should read it all so you get the whole thing. Let me just go there. It says they held strenuously to the belief in the existence of good and evil angels, well, we do, and to expectations of they put a Messiah. I'm going to say redemption. And they cherished the hope that the dead, after preliminary experience either of reward or of penalty in Hades, would be recalled to life by him and be requited each according to his individual deeds. In opposition to the usurped dominion of the Herods and the rulers of the Romans, they stoutly upheld the theocracy and their country's cause, and possessed great influence with common people. According to Josephus, they numbered about more than 6,000. They were bitter enemies of Yahushua and his cause, and were in severely rebuked by him for their avarice, ambition, hallowed reliance on the outward works, and affections of piety in order to gain popularity. Now that's the Pharisees. I want to show you what the scribes is, because hey, there were many sitting in Moses' seat teaching the people. If you go to the scribes, you're going to get. Let me make sure it's in there. It's like my notes got really messed up. Well, I don't have it. I do have it. I don't know if this is, no, I think I deleted it by accident. But anyhow, I'm going to read to you what it is. I don't have the Strong Concordance number. Go look it up yourself. Scribe is going to tell you basically a teacher or a judge. So you got teachers and judges. They're not doing what Yahushua came here to do. They're teaching law, law, law. And we got scriptures that go into the law. Many people say, I'm Torah keeper, and they won't go understand Yahushua. They're excluding Yahushua. They said it's still physical. Dip yourself in water. All these things of the flesh. They're not understanding what Yahushua came to bring that spiritual gift. They're not getting it. Anyhow, the word seat. These people were sitting in Moses' seat. Well, go to the word seat. It's Greek 25:15. It tells you a seat, a chair. It says what it means, though, used of exalted seat occupied by men of eminent rank or influence as teachers and judges. When it says that somebody was sitting in Moses' seat, they were the teacher, they were the judge. They were giving the people a whole different understanding outside of Yahushua. It says, of exalted seat occupied by eminent men, rank, or influence as teachers, as judges, sit on the seat which Moses formerly occupied. That is, they bear themselves as Moses' successors in explaining and defending his law. But we know that Yahushua was rebuking them, as well as Paul in his letter, he was rebuking them, as well as the biblical Hebrews of the Bible will rebuke these men who tell you that the daughters of Zion is speaking of a female woman, a Hebrew woman. Ain't talking about that. I'm rebuking you. Now, when you go a little further, just to hear a little bit of what Yahushua said, he said, to the scribes and the Pharisees who were sitting in Moses, he told the multitude and the disciples about those scribes and the Pharisees which sat in Moses' seat. He says in verse 3 of Matthew 23, all therefore whatsoever they did, they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, be seen of the people. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the utmost part, the utmost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called teacher, teacher. But ye be not, called teacher, for one is your master, even Yahushua. Remember the power of authority, Yahuwah, Yahushua, and Israel. And all ye are brethren. You're all my children, right? The Most High's children, the brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Yahushua. I've only heard about Yahuwah and Yahushua and Israel. I don't hear about no man, no woman. You know what I'm saying? The daughter of Zion, y'all getting all the words mixed up with the English language. Daughters of Zion is talking about Israel. Brethren, sons, daughters, talking about Israel. Every man, woman, that's talking about Israel, the assembly, the church. All the same word. It says, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Yahushua. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, against the children of the Most High. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in, because it is false teaching. They got them performing wickedness, get many wives. That's fornication of the flesh. You know, the Father tells you it was as in the beginning, two flesh become one. Now you got river baskets, smorgasbords of women. That's what these men are teaching. They're teaching the daughter of Zion, she haughty, she this, she got tight jeans on, she got yeast infections, she thinks she's so much, she's putting them anklets on twinkling, and they go through these verses. See, the children are their oppressors, and women rule over them, bringing it right back to the Hebrew woman and the Hebrew child, what's going on today, not even understanding that that's the curses. Our people are under chastisement. Israel sinned. It's all written out in the book. Stop that mess. It's all the same thing. But somebody's trying to divide us. Somebody is trying to make you a child, more of a child of hell than them. And many will believe it. Many will believe it because broad is going to be that way for destruction. And many people find that way, but few find that narrow path, the truth, which is in the Word. By the set-apart spirit. So he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Oh, you're so righteous. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass seas and lands to make one proselyte. You go all over. You go all over to make the children of the Most High basically fatherless. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself with those lies, those fleshly thinkings. Woe unto you blind guides. Hey, verse 16, fools. Ye fools and blind. There was a lot of words that Yahushua, this Yahushua, was calling these people, the same people that many are listening today, thinking of daughters of Zion, talking about a woman. Wake up! I got a little bit more for you, but I'm gonna say it because it needs to be said. And those of you who want to join me, you know I love you, family. Just because y'all see me get a little rowdy, don't get scared. Don't get scared, okay? I don't want y'all to get scared, but y'all got to know the truth. We have 60 seconds left. 646-595-4111. Anyone wanting to hear the rest, because this is one topic that's way overdue. We've been bringing them out, family. Just go through our archives. We've been bringing them out. We're going to show you what is truth from lies. And a lot of people teaching craziness out there right now, but we ain't going to have no craziness here because I'm keeping with the Father. I'm going to keep my prayers up. Y'all keep praying for me. Hey, let me see. I'm trying to get that number out. 646-595-4111. Okay, we got somebody on here on the chat line. They left. It says, no salvation for the Gentiles. This person left. They were really upset. That's a lie, though. So Gentiles get saved. Do you believe in Jesus here? Okay, that was somebody from the wrong site. Okay. And if it was a lost sheep, I pray that they went and listened to the rest of our show. Oh, my goodness. Anyhow, family, we're getting ready. 10 seconds left. Shabbat shalom. Stay in the Father's word. If you sin, repent instantly. Hey, have a blessed weekend. All right, I'm going to close out my chat line so I can better focus on, ooh, everybody's already here. Hey, welcome. Shabbat shalom. Okay, family, I do have somebody with their hand up. I'm going to take a, I'm going to open up the mic for a second. I'm going to continue in a second. Let's go ahead and get the mic open. Area code 313, Shabbat shalom. Uh-oh, somebody just want to listen to me? 313, your mic is open because your hand is up. Okay, I don't know if it's my phone. I heard a little something. I don't hear everything. But anyhow, I'm going to go on. I'm going to close out your mic. We got to get to this truth, family. We got to get to this truth. And remember, I tell everybody, remember, we're the salt of the earth. Salt is spicy. It shakes it up. It gives it flavor. Don't get a little nervous if you're new to our website and you see me raise my voice. I'm not raising it because I hate nobody. I don't despise them. Even those who do bad, I pray for them. No, I'm saying it because I'm trying to jolt you. Some of y'all sit there and y'all might listen and fall asleep. Well, I'm going to make sure that you don't fall asleep. I'm going to show you what the word says. I might highlight a couple parts. And then if I feel like I've said it so many times, you need to hear it louder because somebody ain't listening what the word says. So take it as what it is. It's not anything. Now look, we're going to get to the Father's word. Yahushua, this is our Redeemer. This is the, what the world knows as Jesus Christ in the New Testament. I'm speaking the same person, Yahushua, as is written. You know, the one who had hair white like wool, like an afro. His feet were like fine brass as if burnt in a furnace. Brass is already dark. It only gets darker when it's burnt, right? That's who I'm talking about. He tells them. He calls them. You scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Okay? Blind guides, fools. He was upset about it. Why aren't you? When I come and I take time to go through these scriptures and show you what these words mean and show you. Hey, look, I'll give you examples. I play MP3. Hey, because somebody's going to say, no, we didn't say that. Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. And if you know that you're wrong, come back, make another video, and say, you know, I made a mistake. Hey, it's cool with me. Hallelujah. But that's not what's being done right now. These messages are going even further with deceit. And then I hear newer shows, and they will tell you, well, Daughter of Zion right there in the Old Covenant. Yeah, we know that's talking about Israel. Then they'll go right back and start picking on the Hebrew woman with Daughters of Zion and tell you Isaiah 3 and 4 is talking about this haughty little, you know, Hebrew woman, black woman, whatever. All right, family. Thus, many have learned the traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees and are on their way to destruction by these teachings. Okay, they won't say it right out. They'll say, I love Jesus, I love Christ. You know, they'll do all this stuff, but they deny Yahushua by teaching the flesh. That's what they do. They deny him by doing that. Okay? They'll teach you things like many wives. Many wives. Well, that's no different than when Israel took many of the deities. That was, they were known as the whores and harlots and stuff. That's what you see today. Because these flesh thinkers are telling the women, and the women are going along with it, that these men can have many wives. It's the same. It's flesh thinking. Israel didn't want the spiritual truth of our Heavenly Father. We wanted the gods that are no gods. We were after the flesh. We were after these other nations, what they had. We wanted to be just like them because they knew not the Father. They didn't have the set-apart spirit. They didn't have the truth and understanding. They weren't given the commandments, the judgments, the law, the Torah. They weren't given any of that. But today we find people doing the same thing. They'll read it. They'll say, read the spiritual part. Then they say, hey, now get your guns. Come on now. Hurry up, hurry up. Hey, stockpile that water. Get your food. Ship yourself underneath the ocean. Go to the moon. Ship yourself somewhere because, you know, America's Babylon. Destruction. Denying Yahushua. And you don't even know what you're seeing. That's what they're doing. They're denying Yahushua. If they're not teaching you that our Heavenly Father keep taking us back to Egypt throughout all of the scriptures, showing us how he did this and he did that. He did it. What's coming out of this earth you can't hide from. It ain't just hitting America. Are you crazy? Look up the word Babylon. That's confusion. You've learned a lie. When the angel, I'm going to stop. I don't want to go too deep because I'll be going off the lesson. And I don't want to do that. Okay, let me stay focused here. Many have learned the lies. So they learned about the many wives by the scribes and the Pharisees. They learned to deny Yahushua even though they don't think they're doing it, but they are when they think of in the flesh. They focus on the so-called holy, I like to say set apart, and feast days of observance, the Shabbats. They would tell you it got to be Friday sundown or sunset till Saturday sunset. That's the only time they're the ones that will condemn you. If you show them in the word where the Father wasn't putting, and he told you not to judge any man for this day over the other, because he knew Yahushua can't make that spiritual, so that it's the day you choose to worship him that is good. Because these evil ones would be focusing on their Ra Sunday God worship. And now you got the ones who's going to try you and prove you in Judges 2 from the other nations telling you about this Sunday worship law. And somebody think they got the truth right there. It don't matter about that crap. The Father ain't dealing with that crap. It's nothing of the flesh. Every day of the week and month is a pagan, a cult goddess or something. Everything we have basically is all pagan. How do you exclude while you're in a land sojourning that is not yours? How can you still be set apart? Well, with the Father's truth. Because we know it ain't nothing that we can basically do or even say. The word Bible, that's pagan occult. The word holy, that's pagan occult. We can keep going on with this. How do you exclude from sinning? How do you exclude from all this craziness? Well, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth of our Father's word. Okay? You have liberty once you get the truth, when you get the mark of Yahuwah on you, where you could be living in this world but not of it. You know? But anyhow, the scribes and the Pharisees, the same ones want to say about the daughters of Zion being Hebrew women. They want you, and they will make you worry about those outer garments, both the men and the women. You know, hey, you got to have the... See, they got to make themselves like we were reading about the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers, the judges, those who, say many prayers and do all these things. They like to look pious and like to be called teacher. Same ones. Now we got names like general, elder, all these names they give themselves because they have to have status. See, you've made your own self a status. The Father makes a status for his teacher. His teacher, or his servants, even better. So when you see somebody giving themselves all these names and titles, just glance. Some people don't know no better. That's all right. But what are they teaching? Are they teaching you of the flesh, or are they teaching you of the spirit? Water baptism, that's a big one. We went over that to go back through our shows that we did. We did lessons on that. Baptism is in the Word if you haven't read it already, but the scribes and the Pharisees, they're teaching people. Their teachings are still as of today. They will push the Torah on you, and they will judge you unrighteously. Look at some of these videos going out. They will tell you God said, and tell you how you're going to hell and fuss at you, and some of them curse you. Hey, These are misinterpreting scriptures and prophecies. Okay, when they do this, when they can't even get the truth of something as simple as Old Covenant, the daughters of Zion, speaking of Israel, to take it to New Covenant, understand that we're still talking about the children of Israel, the daughter of Zion. We're talking about the bride or the woman, the man. We're talking about Yahushua. We're talking about the coverings. Well, there's three powers of authority because the angels definitely got both the men and women. Didn't stop just for the women. Nah. Woman is Israel. We're talking about the power of authority, Yahuwah, Yahushua, and then Israel. Somebody didn't put extra things in there and told you this mean a woman and tell you the tinkling of the foot was the anchor the women wear, and that's why she bald-headed because, see, he put a scab on her. I got the videos to prove it. Don't tell me I'm lying about it. I got it. And many of you know you've heard them. I got a couple here and there, but shoot, you can go all over, and they all teach the same mess. So, family, what are we supposed to be doing while we're under chastisement, under captivity? Because that's where we're at right now. Who's ruling in the end? Edom. I don't believe Yahushua came back and gave it to Jacob yet. So we're in the captivity, our last captivity, which we know we're speaking about something nearest to Babylon, which is confusion because we went over the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had with the statues, and letting you know that Edom will be ruling the end, and the Babylon is the confusion, and it all came down through misteachings. Okay, it all came down through misteachings. And it's what you have today is confusion. Go look up the word Babylon, it's confusion. So, while we're in the land of confusion, Babylon, bondage, while we're in this land, what are we supposed to be doing? Because many people think they're supposed to be performing these holidays, these observances, and, you know, just doing water baptisms. And, I mean, they got all kind of things that they're supposed to be doing, something that they have to do. They're building little kingdoms of Israelites all over the United States. They're just doing all kind of stuff. They got to show you that, hey, I'm circulating. Now I'm more pious. I'm not just an internet preacher. I heard it all. But anyhow, what are we supposed to be doing while we're under chastisement? While we're in our captivity, the land that is not ours, we're sojourners out here, what should we be doing? Everyone should have gone over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. And I'm going to go there with you. Now, if you have a scripture at home, I would advise you to pop it open. But before I go there, I see we have another caller, so I'm going to open up the mic again. If you want to ask a question, put your hand up. I'll come to you. But I'm going to keep going with the lesson because I have a little bit more to say because people got to know what it is we're supposed to be doing right now. They're not doing it. And I'm going to get to a point with that in a second. Let me go ahead and open up a mic. Eric code 919, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Sister Georgia. How are you? This is Sister Sharon. How are you?
Hi, Sister Sharon. I'm so glad to hear from you. I'm doing just well. How about you, Sister?
I am wonderful. I had to call in. I couldn't even wait. I'm on fire in my bathroom in here. I wanted to let you know that you are so on point and doing such an awesome show tonight. I have a new friend that I met on Facebook that I've called you about and told you about. He is listening tonight. He knows who he is. And he said he is enjoying this. So I just had to call him and let you know.
Well, you know, Sister, I'm so glad. Hello, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. I welcome you. You can call in too. I don't want to say any names because no names were said, but I know who you're speaking of. So I do welcome them. And there's other people out there got newbies come by our site for the first time. I call them newbies. So, hey, welcome.
That's all I have to say.
All right, Sister. Well, I'm glad you called in, and I'm going to put you back on pause because I still got to go through some more.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sister. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. And somebody else got a hand up, but I'm so glad my sister called in, and I'm so glad that we have an extra listener with her. I love it. Okay, I'm going to go put another mic up here. We have one more hand open. 313. Shabbat Shalom. I can hear you, but you're very muffled. I can hear some noise back there. Did you want to say something? Okay, maybe you would put yourself on mute. We're going to continue. We're going to go on. Like I said, family, you know, I don't go through this because I like to cause conflict. No, I go through it because it's the Father's Word, and some people are not teaching it what is said in the Word. Let's go over to Jeremiah 29. If you have the scriptures or at least a pencil and paper, write it down so you can look through it. This is what we're supposed to be doing while we're under captivity, under bondage, okay? We have to go back and look at what Jeremiah was speaking of in Jeremiah 29. This is when the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the Babylonian captivity. Pay attention to what was said. You should have understanding. The Father gives us all this for our understanding. That's why the word was preserved. And the understanding is right there. Hearken yourself to the Father. Ask the Father to give you clarity. It works. It works. Knock and he will answer. Okay, Jeremiah 29, verse 1. It says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus said Yahuwah of hosts, the father of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, to all the men and the women, all the people of Israel that were carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Here you go, family. This is what we're supposed to be doing in our captivity. It's right here in America for those of us from the tribe of Judah that reside in America. Check it out. Here's what you're supposed to be doing. It says, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat of the fruit of them. Take ye wives. And what it means is the men take wives. It don't mean take a bunch of rip platter. You know, you're not doing a smorgasbord here. Father's word don't say that. That unrighteousness. Take you some wives, okay? Get you a wife. And begat sons and daughters. And take wives. Take some young women for your sons, okay? That's what it's saying. Not a bunch of them. And give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Okay, so this is what we're supposed to be doing while we're in captivity. It says, and seek the shalom of the city whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto Yahuwah for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. You don't have that shalom, right? For thus said Yahuwah, creator of hosts, the father of Israel, let not your prophets and your dividers that be in the midst of you deceive you. Take it current, family. Take it current. These are lessons that you're supposed to learn. We're in captivity. Let me read it again. Verse 8. The Father says, the Father of Israel, he says, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, said Yahuwah. For thus said Yahuwah, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you. Now this is just like the same saying. While we're in this last captivity, remember who's ruling the end was Edom. We happen to be in one part of Edom's territory called America in our captivity trying to do well. Because we're in captivity still. Maybe we don't have the yoke of iron on our neck, but we're still under our oppressors in a land that's not our own. We're supposed to be doing well. So he says that after 70 years, or when Yahushua returns, and before Jacob gets put back in his proper order, which is the head, Israel, right? The head, not the foot, not the curses, not the tail no more. He says that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon or in captivity, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. The place they're talking about is Jerusalem. Okay, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said Yahuwah, thoughts of shalom and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I want to end this captivity. I want to end this bondage, this oppression that you're going under. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Well, I'm gonna keep going. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me. That's why I say you ask the Father. If you don't get what I'm saying, ask the Father. I'm there to plant a seed. He waters it and make it grow, give it an understanding, make those veils, those scales, drop off your eyes, get that wax out your ear so you can hear the truth. Because right now some of y'all ain't hearing it. And y'all sitting under these scribes and Pharisees telling y'all nothing but a lie. You listen to the hypocrites, whether they be taught of the serpent seed, those with the different spirit, or be of the serpent seed themselves, children of the devil. So we go here. It says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, said the Most High Yahuwah, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations. Same place we're in today, family. We're in our captivity, and we're scattered throughout all the nations, all the other people. And from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Most High Yahuwah, and I will bring you again. See, this is future prophecy still. He's still talking, but this is the same scenario, deja vu, okay? He says, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, Yahuwah has raised us up prophets in Babylon. Because ye have said that the Most High hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus said Yahuwah of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelt in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus said the Most High, Creator of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. And that's us right here. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Most High Yahuwah, which I said unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, said the Most High Yahuwah. This is all recapping of the same things that are happening today, family. Hear ye therefore the word of Yahuwah, all ye of the captivity, this is all of us, whom I have sent forth from Jerusalem to Babylon. And right now we are still in Babylon, mystery Babylon, that big confusion, where all the iniquity is. That's all over the world, throughout all the nations, because all the nations were not the Father. He wasn't dealing with them, and he gave us a Torah so we could be set apart from them. Thus said Yahuwah of hosts, the Father of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kholiah, and of Zechariah, and the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, Yahuwah maketh thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed a villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am a witness, saith Yahuwah. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehemite, saying, thus speaketh Yahuwah, Father, Creator of hosts, Father of Israel, saying, because thou hast set letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the prophets, unto all the priests, saying, Yahuwah hath made thee priest, and in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Most High. For every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? There was no judgment in the land. For therefore he sent us unto us, For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Most High unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith Yahuwah concerning Shemaiah the Nehemite, because that Shimei hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, behold, I will punish Shimei the Nehemite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I would do for my people, said the Most High, because he had taught rebellion against the Most High. See, we were talking about the serpent seed right here in Jeremiah. If you go back, we went through the book of Jeremiah, we went through the book of Isaiah, I know I did. We are going through the book of Samuel, we went through many of these books, we've gone through them. And you understand, especially by the time you get to Samuel and Kings, oh my goodness, you see how there were many people who were prophesying, Nehemiah, Ezra, they were prophesying, the Father hadn't sent them. They got people today doing the same thing. That's what I'm saying, the people of the serpent seed, Genesis 3:15. They were right amongst our people. The polluted people that were there, they were there. They were the scribes and the Pharisees, teaching out of the same book, but they left out Yahushua. They left out the truth. They twisted and perverted just a little, and many people don't even see what's happening today. They're telling you the daughters of Zion, oh, that old woman. And then they go into the old covenant and read another lesson, and they let you know that's Israel. Well, which one is it? Is it that you forgot, teacher, that you go from the old covenant to the new covenant? It's the same thing. The Father's word says, I change not. That he's letting you know that Israel, his daughter, the daughter of Zion, is likened to a comely and delicate woman. It's not a woman, but it's likened to. What part have they forgotten? If they can go in the strong accordance and look these words up, and I've seen them do it, but they lie and tell you this little bit. Well, when they go bring the woman so low, and they tell the man he got to step up to the plate, and that he is over the woman, and that he is this and he is that, and he's allowed to have so many rib platters, and the woman needs to shut up, be quiet, just shut her big black mouth, and all this stuff, and the women are, they're doing all kind of crap. I told y'all about that situation. Somebody from Facebook sent me a little message. This was about 4 years ago. This woman, this sister, was talking about how to please her Hebrew, like, she was sending it to the sisters, how to please your Hebrew Israelite man. And she was showing them how to give a blowjob. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. Now, I don't think our Father was concentrating on no blowjobs. I'm sorry. I don't think so. I don't think that he wanted the woman to worry so much about the men and not him. I don't think our father, they'll go to Numbers, I think it's 22, where it says something about the vow, and they'll say, see, the father has right over our mouths. Not the father, excuse me. They'll say their husbands or their father, their daddy. Or it has to be some male got right to tell them to be quiet if they make a vow to the father. And they don't understand. That was talking about celibacy, that a man and a woman got to come into agreement. If that man don't say anything when that woman make a vow, well, then if he don't say none at that time, then that must mean he agreed with it. So, yes, she can say it. But if he disagrees with what she says, he can override it, which means that the vow is no longer held. The father will not hold anyone accountable because he could see that they did not come together on this, you know. And that's with, you know, sexual union. If you're going to be celibate and both you guys are with the understanding that, hey, I'm going to make this vow and I'm going to do this, well, then it can go. But it will not go if that husband, at the moment she says it, he said, well, wait a minute, uh-uh. He would not hold that woman accountable or come against that woman for what she, or the man for stopping it. But they tell you, see, if that man don't like what come out of her mouth, he can stop it right there. I've heard him teaching it. There's so much unrighteousness is going out. There's so many things that when it talks about a spiritual nature of something, people are taking it to the physical. They're taking it to the physical, and they're losing all understanding. When they talk about this whorish woman, even when they get to the woman of Samaria and see, she was a whore, she did, she had all these husbands, and you, she was talking. They're not even getting an understanding of that. And that's for your understanding, to know that it was Israel and Judah. Same thing. You, she was said, I'm sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. By the time you get to Samaria, know that Samaria symbolizes Israel. Symbolizes Israel. Daughters of Zion. Symbolizes the nation of Israel. Samaria symbolizes the northern kingdom, which is called Israel. They don't get this. And this stuff is really, I mean, I had to search for it when I first came into the truth. I didn't hear this. The Father revealed it to me, though. And you have to search out the word. Read. Study. Show yourself approved. Because many people can be talking about a lot of different things, family. Many people. Okay, where was I at? I think I finished it. Yeah, I did. Let me go back to my chat line real quick. If anybody would like to say anything at this point, okay, I'm technically finished, but I had to say it because when we talk about topics like who are the daughters of Zion and we give you the truth, and I'm going to make sure I say it right now, so if anybody's listening, I said it in the beginning, I said it throughout, and I'm definitely saying it in the end. Who are the daughters of Zion? Well, that is Israel. Don't go to the New Covenant and say that's the Hebrew woman. Don't make that mistake, and don't listen to them. Read the scripture for yourself. But when they do this, they cause a lot of conflict in Israel. Like I said, we've gone over the Willie Lynch letter. We've gone over the oppressor. We've gone over those who say that they are of Israel and they're not. You know, we go over the ones who... Nehemiah and Ezra, when they were taking a total count, and these people were counted as polluted, but if it wasn't for the genealogy count, nobody would have ever known any difference. They look just like Israel. They look black, just like they say we look like the Africans. The people who are with them look just like us. Why do you think so many places, you know, everybody would like to look at the white man and say, see, that's the synagogue of Satan? When you really read the scriptures and understand this is our history book and get the understanding of the Father said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed, and understand that throughout the scripture that serpent seed has been with us now and in Israel, not only with us, but they have been the ones sitting in Moses' seat. They have been the ones that when you go through, when we're coming out of Egypt and all this stuff, and the Father opened up the ground and let all of them fallen today. You see all this dissension in Israel when it comes to Moses and the people and all that. They want to build a calf. They were right there the whole time. People just not explaining to you what you're seeing. They have a different spirit. That's what the serpent seed is. They have a different spirit. It's not the same set apart spirit. They're not called. But many are called, but few are chosen. You know what I'm saying? Many are called, but few are chosen. And they're not chosen, might be a better word to say. But they always got a problem. They always against the truth, and they always want to come tell you and push things on you and make you a child of hell, more a child of hell than themselves. They want to talk about the outer garments, never the inner. They want to give you a water baptism, not the spiritual set-apart spirit. They can't tell you there was two creations. They don't have a clue because their eyes are closed. They're spiritually discerned. They're bringing a flesh message to you. They're telling you, arm yourself. Get out of America. You know, they're doing all these things, and that's what I'm trying to get everybody to see. The Daughter of Zion is just another stumbling block for Israel if you don't get it. And I pray you guys got that, and I pray the lesson went well today because it was meant for everybody's understanding. I'm going to open up my sister's line again since she's still on. Hey, 919, Shabbat Shalom, Sister Sharon?
Yes.
I just wanted to get your feedback because I'm done. That's all I have to say, family, today. I'm done.
Okay.
You have anything you want to add besides that?
No, there is nothing to add. I mean, you like usual, you always got it in the pocket. You covered everything. I have nothing to add.
Well, I'm just so glad, sister. There's a couple more topics I'm going to be hitting in the future, but we are going to pick back up because I want to start the Book of Kings now. And I pray that you guys have gone all the way through Samuel, first and second Book of Samuel, because you know first and second Book of Samuel as well as first and second Book of Kings were all one book. Chronicles just better outlines it. But when you go through the book, you'll see the division that we're going to see, that serpent seed in Israel. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it. Okay? And just to know that the Book of Kings, when they talk about the northern and southern kingdom, wasn't the first time you will hear about Judah and Israel. Know that. So I pray that everybody will read a little bit ahead, and I probably, if I can get this MP3, and I think I got it fixed finally, I think. Next show, I want to finish off the last show dealing with All Roads Lead to Rome. Speaking of these deities, where is the deities that, what deities came into Christianity? Let's see that. It deals with Babylon, deals with confusion. We went through all that. Just got to go to the first show, work your way to the current show. The last show is we're going to let you get understanding that all these deities, just like in the Tower of Babel, okay, under Nimrod, they all were worshiping one deity when they split up. You know, when the Father scattered them, all they did was, with their own language, they renamed it. But it's the same deity. That's why at the end time, and this one world system, which is all worshiping Satan, they can all come in with their deities, the same deities that were in Christianity, in Rome, that has been brought to you a different way and a different understanding. But these are all the same deities, you know. And I think, Sister Sharon, you and I really talked about that stuff a lot because a lot of people don't get that the pagan white Jesus, Jesus Christ, how when I first came into the internet, that wasn't that long ago, family. I think I first picked up the internet, 10 years ago, 2000, not even 10 years, about 10 years ago. I saw them put up that one video, I think it's by Zygus. They talk about Jesus and how he has the same birth as all these other Egyptian and Phoenician and just all these other deities. And I was like, look at there. They just have to start some mess. But I wasn't getting that that's not the truth of Yahushua, but that is the truth of Jesus because he's one of the pagan deities. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I know exactly what you're saying.
So I want to go into that because I think a lot of the lost sheep, when they hear this information about where these gods come from that they worship, then they'll start to understand why is it the Father says certain things in the Scripture. You're going to be worshiping in the curses, worshiping gods of woods and stones. And Paul said you worship a god you know not, the god of the unknown. What? You don't even know what you're worshiping. And many of our people believe they're in the truth, but they're not because they don't know the origins of where these gods are coming from. So I'm going to try to get that show up as well. But if nobody else has questions, you know me, family, I'll wrap it up for you guys because it is the weekend, and I tell you, I ordered Netflix this movie, Django, whatever you call that movie, and I watched a little part of it, and I got a couple things to say about this movie, so I might even do a movie review. Have you seen that movie, Django, yet, sister?
Yes, I have. It's a good movie, but it's a lot of parts in that movie that I know how you think and how closely you watch movies like I do. You're going to have a lot to say about it, Sister Georgia.
Yeah, because, I mean, I only watched the first part. It's a longer movie than I thought, but the first part where they show you how they bought him out of, that, you know what, when I saw this movie, this is off topic, family, because I finished Who Are the Daughters of Zion. I'm done with that. But for this particular movie, I when I watch these movies, I think both sides. I think the enemy, and then I think of Israel. What perceptive that we're getting from this message. And we know that they're not giving us anything good for ourselves. By them bringing up this movie, prayerfully, our people will see that if this is how we were treated, and this movie got some stuff in it, if this is how we were treated, how the heck in 2013 we all won? We wasn't all won then. And then it also almost revels up the Hebrews to want to make war. You know what I'm saying? Because when Django with the one guy, you know, these Edomites were wrong what they did, but, you know, they finally showed the brother on top. And he was whipping and getting to shoot him, and he was like, you know, it, in a way, to me, it kind of revs up. When you got GMS, is that the name of that group, GMS, I think? The one Hebrew site out there, but they'd be on the street corner cursing with the word and all that and telling you about kill the white man and all this stuff. But when you see movies, it's like they get, this movie was set up to wake something up in the people for like when they brought Roots out. When they brought Roots out, family, that's when they lit my coat on fire and it was calling my best friend Kizzy. Okay, we me and my girlfriend, there weren't very many Hebrews out there. It was in northwestern Ohio, Hocking Hills. Many of y'all might have gone, people go out there to go hunting, but I call it Whitesville. But they lit my coat on fire that week Roots was out, and they call her Kizzy. So when they brought this movie out, it's like a perverse opposite effect. You're getting the Hebrews all riled up. And, you see, they want to get you riled up so they can go take you to jail. I don't know. I got to look at the rest of it. But that's what I saw, sister. Hey, I got some callers here, sister. You want to add anything else before I bring on another caller?
No, I'm good, Sister Georgia. I'm good.
Well, hey, you know I'm so glad you called in today, sister. I thank you for calling in. I'm going to keep you on in case you want to say anything else. I'm going to keep your line open. I'm getting ready to open up. Area code 215, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Sister Georgia. This is Brother Ralph.
Ah, hi, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great tonight. I listened to your teaching the whole show. That was the first one I made it through. Because I'm going to sleep this time of night. But, you know, I listened to you, and I didn't call in because I didn't want to interrupt you. But you always do a good job, and that's your world. But I called in because you talked about Django. And to me, I went to see that on Pagan Day, which was December 25th, and it's an insult. The whole program was an insult, and they, you know, the so-called N-word was said over 100-something times, but what was more insulting to me is the condition of our people when they sit there in the movie amongst Edom and started laughing at, you know, some of the things going. That movie was not to be laughed at. That movie was to show a condition of our people, the torment that we went through at the hands of an enemy, an open enemy, and all you could do is sit there and laugh at it. So, you know,
I haven't laughed yet.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Our condition is, I mean, we're mentally ill. I mean, you can't go through 400, 500 years of oppression and think that you're sane. And that's one thing we have to admit, that something is wrong with our thinking. Anytime we can sit in a movie theater and laugh at the abuse of our ancestors, you know, so that's what I'm saying. It takes the Almighty to come down and do something with us. I don't have enough time blaming no heathen, no devil, nothing. We need to pray to get our minds right, to get this immorality out of our communities. I don't know what has taking place, but there's a demon in us. And I mean, when I saw how they laughed at what was going on in that movie, I was crushed. I was crushed.
Yeah,
that was just me. Go, I'm listening, Sister Georgia.
No, I think I forgot what I was going to say. Let me think what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I didn't get to really listen to all of it yet, but I know Samuel Jackson, he played the role of a house Negro. And I want to hear because
he played himself.
You know, and I was listening to it, and I couldn't listen to all of it, but it was interesting. I wanted to hear what he said because, you know, he was what Malcolm X said about when the house nigga said, "We show his sick balls." Huh? You remember that part when they got that famous speech that he gave on YouTube? But that's what I thought of, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And unfortunately, a lot of the people are in that state of mind. That's what I saw. You know, they don't understand. And you could see every time they showed the Hebrew males out there, you know, under bondage and all this, and they looked like they was ready to whip somebody. You know, but then what really crushed me was when he went to get his wife. Well, I guess it was his wife. I didn't watch the whole show. But, Quentin Tarantino, whatever that man's name is, I'm looking at the credits right now. That's a Jew. But anyhow,
yes.
You know, I'm like, darn, you know, for the one woman was going to get beat for dropping some eggs, you know, just the condition. Oh, my goodness, it's something wicked because these people now tell our people that we all one and all these lies of Christianity and when they know you can't turn from an evil wickedness only, what, two generations ago? This was these people, two generations, family. Think about it. Think about it.
Well, what that movie showed, we still are in mental chains. Anytime we take up these false belief systems, and you did, and you're so right when you said, like, that movie, Psychus. I saw that. And it talked about Krishna. It talked about Horus and how they all had the same birthdays and everything. And if you look at the word Jesus, that's nothing but a Greek invention. So no, they weren't talking about our brother. But you know, we are still mentally enslaved. And Quentin Tarantino said something in that movie. He basically says, we have we could crush them if we wanted to, but we have this loyalty or something. It was really insulting, but true. It was really insulting, but true. So when you see that, when he pulls out the skull and starts talking about the skull, it just shows me, anytime we can sit up and laugh at a movie like that, it shows me our condition. We are spiritually dead. We're still that valley of dry bones, and we have a long way to go. And I just had to call in and let you know that because I do have a genuine love for our people. Even though I get attacked about certain things I do believe, I do love our people. And that's the one thing I do know I do. I love our people. So that movie was, I saw it that time. I don't want to see it anymore. It was a disgrace. So
I'm going to watch it after we finish talking because I want to see what everybody's been talking about. I finally got it from Netflix. And as soon as we hang up, I'm going to put it on before I fall asleep. But hold on, brother. I want to bring on some more family members got their hands up here. I'm keeping everybody's mic open in case y'all want to add too. Okay, Shabbat Shalom, area code 916.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hi, who am I speaking to?
Cookie.
Hi, Sister Cookie. How are you?
Hi, Cookie.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Hi. How you doing?
All right. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
I got that was Sister Sharon. She was telling Sister Cookie hello. I got mics open, Sister. Did you want to share anything with us?
No. I just wanted to say hi and pray for me.
Well, you know, Sister, you always in my prayer, and I do pray for the whole family. I pray that y'all be praying for me and the whole family, too. We got to keep each other in prayer because we in a time of wickedness as ever there was a time. So we are. Did you hear anything about your job yet, Sister?
No, it was just an exam. I took my exam today for the police recruit, and then Wednesday I take the exam for a probation officer.
Okay, well, I'm gonna keep you in my prayers, as well as the rest of the family, and I'm gonna keep you on because we run out of time, and I got another caller in, so I'm gonna keep everybody's mic open. One more caller, hold on, family. Let's get everybody in there. Area code 936. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Sister Georgia. This is Sister Phoenicia.
Sister Phoenicia, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, I had a few things, Sister Georgia. One about the Django. That movie was a trip to see. And I ran across this blog that's really interesting. And after you watch the Django tonight, when you get some time tomorrow or whatnot, maybe you should. They have like three articles on the Django. And the Django was really like an MK Ultra type program. It's programming for us, basically. And the guy breaks down how the movie is an old German story. That's what it is. You know, he ties it in with the Nazis and whatnot. It's an old German story that the Django is based off of, and I don't really want to get into all of it, but he ties in just how the story, how he's playing Negroes off of each other, the house Negroes and the field Negroes, because remember, Cat Williams got really upset about that movie, and they had him, and ever since he started speaking out about that Django movie, a lot of Negroes, like Spike Lee, Dick Gregory and somebody else, I can't recall, had something to say. They were against Cat Williams for what he was saying. And they were basically, you know, siding with Quentin Tarantino and the Gentiles, the Edomites. And the guy broke it down in the article. He wrote like three articles about this. I'm going to give the website out, but I'll email it to you as soon as we get off the phone. But just for the listeners, the website is called Mind Control Black Assassins. .com or .wordpress.com. It's www.mindcontrolblackassassins.wordpress.com. And, you know, the first article is about Barack Obama and the boys in Brazil or something like that. He ties in Brazil with Barack Obama. But you just keep scrolling down. The very next three articles is all about the Django and Cat Williams and mind control and how that the whole Django story ties into some old German story. And you're right, Quentin Tarantino is one of those fake Jews. He's always throwing up those Satan, you know, hand signs and all that, those 666s and those horns and all that. And, you know, he's really racist. He's a really racist guy, as we already know they are anyway, but he's blatantly racist as it is. And he just brings up how, you know, the movie was like a mind control type situation. That's why you get like this uncomfortable feeling when you're watching it. You're right, it's like they're trying to provoke us to get mad. So they could lock us up, you know, and it's funny the timing that they're doing it because we're waking up, and they know we're
that's
waking up.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I got. Family only watched, I want to say, like maybe an hour of it, but there was like, because I was like, I went to do some other stuff, and I said, the movie's still on. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to watch it later. But, yeah, this movie is, I got to watch the whole thing, but I got to the part where, Samuel L. Jackson, he's playing the house Negro, and, you know, he's against Django, and he's trying to say that woman, I can't think of her name, Bethula or something, I don't know. Anyhow, he's trying to say that she knew Django, and the girl kept saying, no, I don't know him. So it's like he was working for the master the whole time, and all I saw when I looked up at the screen again, his master had died or got shot by Django, and he was crying and holding him. And it made me think about how when we tell this truth to our people, that we are the people, they want to hold on to the enemy and comfort the enemy, and they will call me a racist. And it just brought so much close to home. So, I mean, I got to watch the whole thing. But I think that this is, I don't know, I got to watch the whole thing before I open my mouth any further on it. But, yeah, this is one of those movies that I'm glad I got a hold of. Family, we got about 7 minutes left. So, wait, sister. We got about 7 minutes left, so if anybody wants to state anything, I got all mics open, and I'm going to open up area code 313 again in case they might want to say something, because They never said anything earlier. Erica 313, your mic is open as well. Shabbat Shalom. So, you guys, we got about 6 minutes. Anybody want to add anything else to the lesson we did today with the Daughters of Zion, the teachings that are going out concerning, I believe, intentionally misquoting scripture myself, but hey, that's me. Only because I study how they teach, and I don't see how they can't get it. But or the Django, the D is not pronounced with Django. If anybody has anything about these movies that are coming out and, you know, slavery and all that, they tried to hide it up and, you know, cover it up and make all of us one singing Kumbaya. But when they bring up a movie like this, like our brother said, Brother Ralph, to me, it's like it provokes you. Because you see, if you didn't see it before, you see how we were treated. And now they're trying to tell us we're all one. What is something wrong with this? And the type of things they were doing. And, I mean, I don't know. They had our people in a sad condition. And I can see why some of our people, like I put up that Florida Evans from Good Times, how she points her finger at the white Jesus. And she said, this is the only Jesus I know and love. Because our people have been conditioned from the enemy to believe a lie. And when the truth presents itself, the world loves the lie, but not the truth. You know, so all this stuff, this is just all one big mind control. They think that, like the person who came on the chat line made a comment, something about there's no salvation for the Gentiles. You don't believe in Jesus? And it might have been a lost sheep. I don't know. But they exited off the site once they saw that we're not preaching Jesus and we're telling what the Bible says, that those Gentiles were lost sheep. The ones who get it grafted in, those are lost sheep. The ones that came out of Egypt, the strangers and soldiers, they were lost sheep. The whole book is about us. And people get mad when you show them what the scripture says, how David called us strangers and sojourners and so forth too. You know, but for some reason, this truth, and it angers people. So we're just going to keep teaching the truth. Anybody else want to say anything before I close up the show, wrap it up?
I wanted to say, as far as Django, I never watched it, and I don't think I'm going to want to watch it because there's a lot of ignorance behind a lot of these movies, especially Jamie Foxx. I mean, we all know he's with the Illuminati and sold his soul, and now he's gay and all this stuff, you know, and it's just some of these, it's just, but the mind is in a reprobate state, and that's just basically what it is, and all we can do is pray, and it just continues black folks.
Okay, somebody's making a lot of noise, but hey, Erico 203, Shabbat Shalom, you got about 2 minutes.
Shabbat Shalom, Sister Georgia. Shabbat Shalom, family.
Shabbat Shalom.
I just thank you for the lesson, and I thank you for bringing out the truth. And just want to encourage Israel, you know, those that are waking up, for those that, you know, haven't woken up yet, you know, to keep praying and, you know, seeking the Father. Because the truth that is coming out, something that the Father has been bringing to me is that the enemy can bind anything, but he can't bind the truth. He can't bind what's coming forth. He can't stop it. And the Father said he'll shut the mouths of the lions regardless of what they're doing. And I just want to encourage you and thank you for the lesson and thank you for what the Father's putting in your mouth to bring forth.
Well, yeah. Sister, thank you for calling in and for especially sharing with us. I love it when you guys call in and give me some feedback. But we got more. We got a lot more. So we will continue. I'm going to try to get a scripture reading this week. But I ask everybody, really review the lessons that we have done over Samuel. We're getting ready to hop into Kings next. So read a little bit ahead. And we have about a minute left. So, hey, I thank everybody for joining us. Hey, have a blessed Shabbat weekend and work week. If you sin, keep in the Father's word. Repent instantly. Cry out to our Father for understanding and truth. All right, family? So with that said, I'm going to have to close it up. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.